Are you interested in coaching but unsure where to start? At Reboot, we know finding the right coach can feel daunting. If you'd like to explore coaching with Reboot, our engagement team will work closely with you to find the coach to best match your goals so that you can learn to unlock what's in your way, leverage your talents as a leader, and live and lead a more aligned life. To learn more about Reboot's approach to coaching or to connect with our engagement team, head to reboot.io/coaching.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Reboot podcast. This is Andy Chrissinger here, the director of coaching at Reboot. I'm super excited today to have with me someone that I have known in the industry for, we were just reminiscing, a while, 6.5 years, Steph Yu from Automatic. Steph, it's awesome to have you with me today. You want to take a minute and introduce yourself?
Hey, yeah, absolutely. Hi, my name is Steph Yu. I'm the Chief Customer Officer at WordPress VIP, which is one of the business units within Automatic. And yeah, I've been working with Andy for almost 7 years now, so I'm super excited to be here.
One of the reasons why I'm excited to talk to you is that over the years, one of the things that stood out to me is that whatever you've done in terms of coaching, whether it's, you know, one-on-one or workshops, or we'll talk a little bit about that OG training group back in Atlanta of 2017 with some leaders from Automatic. It struck me that you have found ways to bring that work back to your teams so that it's actually impacting their day-to-day experiences. And that's what I'm most excited to hear from you about today. Like, I really want to know, how have you done that? Because it's pretty amazing from my perspective.
Thank you. So Automatic does this really cool thing where it embeds a coaching program within our organization. Not only do we work with Reboot regularly on all sorts of, you know, leadership coaching programs, things like that, but we also offer every person at Automatic, every employee, the opportunity to have, I believe it's 12 coaching sessions a year. So it's roughly once a month, and it's slightly more if you're a team lead. And I have talked to so many different executives over the years about the impact of the coaching program at Automatic on how it's leveled up the performance of my team. And they are always so surprised when I share with them just like what a tremendous impact it's had. And to me, I'm thinking like, wow, every professional athlete, most top of their whatever industry, they all work with coaches. So it's so funny to me that within businesses and organizations, we don't consider coaching as like an absolutely essential tool, because I think it is. Mm.
Well, it's awesome to hear you say that. And I want to dive more into that and hear, like we were saying, a little bit more about how you have made the most out of those opportunities. And you're right. Shout out to Automatic. It's pretty amazing the investment and commitment that this organization has made over the years. And it's beyond what I've seen in most cases. So it's really amazing. But should we reminisce a little bit about that that time, 6.5, almost 7 years ago in Atlanta, the pilot program? Yeah. So maybe just a little background for our listeners. This was the first, the beginning of work that Reboot did with Automatic, 2017. Actually, this started probably late 2016, just the conversations around, hey, you know, what would a leadership development program look like? At that point, I think Automatic was 450 employees, maybe, at that time. Yeah. And so we started conversations to design what could this be, what might it look like, and we decided we'd do a pilot. We'd bring everybody together. I think originally we were thinking, well, let's do this remotely, just, you know, because that's how we do things here at Automatic. But we decided to treat a little bit more like a meetup and bring everybody together in Atlanta. You were a part of that group along with, I think, 11 other folks. And we spent 3 days workshopping the content that would eventually become this leadership development program. And I'm curious what your memories are of that experience. I'll share some of mine too, but what stands out for you?
I remember that it was the first time I'd had the opportunity to get together with other senior leaders across all of Automattic, because Automattic is made up of a lot of different divisions, whether it's Tumblr or WordPress.com or VIP. And so it was the first time we'd brought in various leaders from different groups into one room to really just work on leadership development across Automattic. So I remember that feeling of like, wow, this is a really cool and dynamic group.
Yeah.
And I also remember being very skeptical, Andy. I was not really into the coaching thing yet. And I was like, what is this? What are we doing? I don't know what this is. And so, yeah, those are my two memories from the beginning anyway.
I think you were not the only one who was a bit skeptical of this group of outside facilitators coming in and teaching us about leadership or something like that. So, I remember that too. Although I don't remember you being, I don't remember that as much from you. My memories of you were like really engaged and like kind of wanting to learn, wanting to give feedback and wanting to help us shape it into something that would be helpful for the rest of the automaticians who would kind of experience this over the years. But I actually, as a trainer, you know, every now and then there's a group that you might encounter a higher degree of skepticism, but you look for the one or two people that are kind of on your side that are getting a lot out of it. And then that can really kind of keep you going. And you were one of those folks for me at that in that experience. So that's my recollection.
Well, I think especially if you're talking 2017, I was like pretty early on in my like more senior leadership career. I think at that point I was probably the first big team I'd ever led. You know, probably 30 or 40 people at that point. So I was probably going through a ton of imposter syndrome, to be completely honest, around that time. And so I think if you got a sense of like leaning in, it was probably because I was hungry for any tool available to me to help me help my team better. And prior to Reboot and all of this coaching, you know, investment, we didn't really have all that many tools for our leaders.
Right.
I feel like our leaders are really well supported, but you know, in the early days of Automattic, you were just kind of thrown in to figure it out. And a lot of times in the super early days, it was like, no feedback was good. Like no feedback was good feedback. It meant that you were performing.
Right. Right.
Obviously we've pivoted and changed a lot since then. And I really think, so, you know, I remember the 3 days that we got together. Day one was the rockiest.
Yep. Me too.
But what was really cool about having a rocky day one, looking back, is that we immediately put into practice the feedback cycle, right? The end of the day, y'all kind of asked what worked, what didn't work, like what would you change? I think a lot of our feedback was around like remote work, because I think we were probably one of the very few remote companies back then. And then day two came back and it was like, wow, all right. Like, you know, put into practice feedback and you can really pivot and turn things around. So then from there, I think we started to create some of the fundamental principles of what Reboot would be like as we deployed it across all of Automattic. How many people at Automattic do you think have gone through Reboot, Andy, at this point?
Well, it's in the hundreds. I would imagine over 300. Possibly 400 who've gone through it. That'd be my estimate. And I want to go back to the one thing you said, because it sparked a memory for me, because that was a huge learning for me in my career doing this work, was that the pivot that Jim Marsden, my co-facilitator at the time, and I did after day one. I still remember the dinner. This is downtown Atlanta. We were having dinner at just the two of us at Ted's Montana Grill, wherever that is in downtown. I think the restaurant's still there, with our laptops, just going, okay, we got some feedback. What are we going to do? How do we pivot? We want this to be impactful. And honestly, most of the pivoting was around packaging and presentation, and as best as we possibly can, get on the wavelength of this group of folks, because Automattic is a unique organization. And one of the things we were realizing is, and that uniqueness is important to their identity. And so it's incumbent upon us as the facilitators who are trying to bring something valuable into this culture to learn quickly, how do we speak the language of this culture? So that was a huge lesson for me at that point in my career doing this work. So I just wanted to name that. I'd still look back with fondness on that dinner with Jim at Ted's Montana Grill as we reworked day two content.
Yeah. And I think one thing that I'm thinking about too is that our culture has such a high degree of trust that we all felt really comfortable sharing openly feedback because we all knew that it was going to help everything, like help the program get better. And I think that's just something I love about Automattic culture is like you believe in positive intent and you're really comfortable sharing feedback because it just makes things like the pivot possible. It makes
you absolutely know. Yeah. So shout out to all the folks, I think most of whom are still at Automattic who were a part of that initial pilot. Thank you. Yeah. I hope everyone, if you happen to be listening to this, that you can feel really good about that contribution because it's made a huge difference.
And one of the things that was so cool about, you know, that gathering, you know, there was the coaching materials that provided a lot of tools to the leaders, which I think we've all carried forward. But the other piece, which I mentioned, was like bringing together leaders from different groups within Automattic. And that has been a consistent presence in all of the reboots since, right? Like every time I have a team lead come back from a reboot and I'm like, how did it go? One of the things that they said was having an open space to speak honestly and learn from other team leads and like across all of Automattic and feel like I'm not alone in the process or that I have other people to work through the process with. It's something that I got out of the first reboot with Automattic, and I feel like that's continued.
That's so awesome to hear. And that's a great transition into what I'd love to hear a little bit more from you, which we were kind of talking about at the beginning. I see you as someone who, as you've had the opportunities to participate in these workshops and programs and trainings and coaching, as someone who has probably more than most found ways to integrate those learnings and bring them back to your teams in ways that are truly making a difference. Like it's actually changing behavior and practices. So I'd love to hear a little bit more from you. How have you done that? What has been your approach and what have you learned over the years in these experiences?
I would say that the coaching programs have really given me and my team a lot of different tools in our toolkit. And it gives us avenues to problem solve. And like, I'll dive into some specific examples because I think this helps. And Andy, I was just telling you earlier, there are like, I think, four different ways that I think coaching has really impacted our organization. And I can give examples for each.
That'd be great.
So the first way that I think coaching has really impacted our organization is that every individual contributor has access to coaching, right? Mm-hmm. So we're not an organization where you only get access to coaching if you're doing something bad. And we're also not only an organization where you only get access to coaching if you're a team lead or you're an executive, right? It's available to everyone. So this immediately levels up your entire bench of like individual contributors and pretty much everybody in your organization. And it means that when an individual contributor walks into their one-on-one with their team lead, that they've already had the opportunity to work on career development, problem solve things that might be personally blocking them, help them see what's possible as opposed to what's not possible. So they can go into that one-on-one with a manager and be able to say very clearly, here are the things that I need help on, and here are the things that I would love to achieve in my career in the next 6 to 12 months. Mm-hmm. And without the access to the coaching program, folks who are hungry for that type of interaction, that type of career development, that type of learning, they might have to lean on their team leads, but not every team lead is a professional coach. Not every team lead is really good at helping people work through career development. In fact, I would say, as a former team lead who did have to coach folks early on without any coaching tools, I think that I was so focused on like, well, this was my career development path, so like everybody else has got to follow it, you know, because I didn't know better. But coaches know that there are many different ways to explore a career, and there are different tools that you can pull out in the conversation, different kinds of questions that you can ask to dig in. So at the baseline, I think it levels up all of our ICs, and it just enhances the team performance because it accelerates the conversations, right? The one-on-one conversations, then the team lead can really focus on how are you performing? What's blocking you? How can we make sure that the team is gelling together? And it allows them to focus on those aspects.
Yep.
The second area that I think coaching has been really impactful is the concept of like toolkits. So over the years, I've been exposed to all sorts of toolkits that Reboot has given me or like other coaching programs. And it just empowers team leads to have ways to either moderate conversations or problem solve in a situation. So a good example is, so obviously, you know, I work with customers every single day and we work with enterprise customers. So almost always the problems that we run into are unique. And one of the toolkits that we've learned from Reboot is this concept of inquiry council, where it's really about creating space to ask questions. And there's no accusation. It's just about gathering information before you get to solutioning. And that's a toolkit that I have not only deployed as a team lead, but it is now a part of our regular weekly routine. We have a Monday risk call where we allow anyone on the team to surface a risk or a problem that they're having with a customer. And I really lean into, all right, before anyone solutions for the first 5 minutes of this call, questions only. And we use that to pull out information about what's going on with the customer, what's going on with their business, what's going on with their technical setup to help us get to the solutioning later. But what's most important about that is that nobody feels accused. Nobody walks into the call being like, oh, shoot, I really screwed this up with the customer. Like, that's not the purpose. The purpose is we are here to problem solve. And I think it just empowers our team to get ahead of customer issues faster because we've deployed that toolkit. So that's just like one example of like how coaching tools can come into practice in a day-to-day interaction.
That's amazing. Can I ask you a quick question about that one?
Yeah,
I love that one.
Sure.
How have you... or what have you noticed about the way that the adoption of that tool has shifted kind of mindset and behavior among the team as you've kind of held them accountable to that practice at the beginning of those Monday risk calls? What have you noticed?
Well, the great news is that so many people on my team have gone through Reboot that the minute I said, we're going to use inquiry council, everybody knew exactly what I was talking about. Right. So it wasn't, like, I didn't have to train the team because we were all already speaking the same language because the Reboot coaching is just like embedded in our, in like all of our leads and embedded in many of our ICs. So that's one thing. But I think the minute I deployed that and said, hey, we're going to use inquiry council or we're going to use an inquiry council approach, people like, you know, sometimes you have like blinders on, you're like, I got a problem solved right away, but it just like opened it up a little bit and it kind of released the air in the room. And also typically on these calls, it's an IC bringing up a problem and a bunch of team leads problem solving. And so like, it can feel very accusatory if a bunch of team leads are just like firing questions at you. But if you state that the space that we're creating together is inquiry council, and this is the purpose. And we're all marching toward the same journey, which is we want to retain this customer in the long run. It creates like a safe space, I think. And I'll say, like, I believe that personally, I've gotten better at moderating conversations and moderating tough conversations, both internally and externally, because I've seen our Reboot coaches and other coaches in our program deploy moderation skills. You know, when the temperature in a room is like really heated, sometimes it's okay to let it run. And other times it's okay to like cool it off. Or, you know, all of that is based in this practice of being an observer and like really reading the room.
Yep.
And when you are a team lead, an exec, when you are running an onsite with a customer, when you're running an executive business review in a customer, and you're really trying to move the group toward a certain space, that's another tool I have in my toolkit from coaching is like, I feel like I'm a pretty good moderator. And I'm pretty good at observing what's in the room, like not being blinders on like in my head, but like observing the space in the room and being able to move that space toward where it needs to go.
Which to me, I would imagine that comes through, it comes through practice. It's not just the toolkit alone. It's okay, I've got a toolkit. I'm going to start employing it and using it. And then what happened? How did that go? What did I notice?
I think now that we're talking and you're saying like, oh, Steph, like you've deployed a lot of these tools. I think probably one of the reasons why is because my job every day is working with humans, like whether internally or externally, like I am responsible for working with our customers on a day-to-day basis. So every single day I'm on calls either with my team problem solving or with my customers problem solving. And that's why like any toolkits that allows me to help like steer a group to progress is really important.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Tell me more.
All right. So I have two more examples. So the other example of where coaching has been really important is when I've led reorgs within my organization. So I think so far in my career, I've led three like major reorgs. One around 2017, Andy, when we first met. Like, and then I think at the time we were like maybe, 40 people. It's hard to remember at this point. And then I led another reorg in like late 2020, early 2021. Mm-hmm. Always lead a reorg during COVID, Andy. It's the best time to lead a reorg. But that was like when our team was like maybe 80 to 90 people. Mm-hmm. And I'm currently leading a reorganization right now. And our team is like 130-ish people. And so I've done this three times. It's really healthy, I think, for organizations to just like break everything apart and bring it back together again when you keep growing in size and your business is shifting and changing.
Yep.
And I would say that in 2020, when we led a big reorg within the organization, Andy, I brought you in to work with my leadership team.
That's
and
right.
We built a change management like coaching program. And that coaching program was really about one, educating our leads on how to run change management, because it is a skill with processes and playbooks and tools. Mm-hmm. And you gave us a bunch of tools that we sat with and explored together. And then beyond that, we had a unified language for how we wanted to approach this transition. And we really leaned into the William and Susan Bridges Managing Transitions book, which if you talk to any one of my team leads, they will like pull it off their desk because it's like they'll hold it up and be like, it's on my desk.
Yeah.
But there's just language in that playbook that they use, things like the neutral zone, which we reference, or like a transition monitoring group, or all of these things. And so it just got us all on the same page when we were leading the reorg in 2020. And now that we're doing another one, and so many of the leads are the same leads from when we did it, you know, back during COVID, we're doing it again, but this time we're learning from all the mistakes we made the first time around. We're trying to do it better.
What's an example of something you learned in that 2020 transition that you're now doing differently?
So this time around, we have a transition leader who is not me. So I am leading the overall strategy of the transition, but I actually have someone who's responsible for leading and guiding the full transition, especially when you're looking at 130 people and all the different moving parts. It's actually really important to have a DRI who's working on it. So that's one thing. And then the other thing is that we have a transition monitoring team this time around. So we, so for folks that aren't familiar with the William and Susan Bridges like process, one of the things that they recommend is having folks within the organization that are not part of the leads that are leading the transition to just be a self-formed group. Like we don't actually give them a ton of guardrails. We just like let them form. And then it's their responsibility to funnel feedback back to the team. And boy, that feedback's been harsh. It's been rough, but it's actually helped us do things like do more AMAs, publish more P2s, be more transparent, things like that, that we're getting feedback from the team. So that's something that we didn't do the first time around because we just didn't have the bandwidth. that this time around we are doing. And I think it's been valuable in just making sure that the leads are communicating in a way that are, that is helpful to the team. Now, it is amazing. Still not perfect. Still not perfect. Every transition is really hard. Like, I look at this transition, I'm like, gosh, this is way better than the first time, but there's still problems this time around. But I think having all of my team leads go through that coaching program together and start from a unified place allows us to just like operate more quickly. Like, we ran this transition very quickly. And if you, you know anything about running transitions in organizations, like, you don't want them to drag out, because the more it drags out, the more it harms performance over time. So you actually do want a really tight time frame of like running through it and getting it done. Even if it's not perfect, you do want to like close the chapter so that the team can go from like storming, you know, forming to norming, which right. is another term, like another tool that we got from Reboot is the curve of team forming growth.
The Tuckman model. Yeah.
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 And then the fourth thing that I was going to say in terms of like how coaching has helped our organization is when we acquired a business a couple years ago. So we acquired a 40-person company and brought them into VIP. And Andy, you talked about how the Reboot program like really focuses on what is unique about Automatic. Mm-hmm. And I think all of our coaching has really centered around like, we want the coaching experience to reflect the Automatic creed and the Automatic beliefs.
Right.
And so when we ran through the acquisition process and we were integrating their teams into ours, I led the like acquisition transition team. And one of the tools that I deployed, including all of the traditional stuff that you might think, like bringing our HR team in for AMAs or doing onboarding sessions with our team and all of the, you know, normal things that you might consider, is I asked the Automatic coaching program to come in and build a coaching program alongside our acquisition process. And so we actually formed, I believe they ran for like 6 to 8 weeks, but every week we would have like the blended team leads. So for example, if it was like, you know, a sales leader with an Automatic and then like the sales team from the team that was being brought in, it was like a blended team. And we would just like have regular coaching sessions as we were going through that transition, because we knew that it was going to be really challenging for everybody. And we just wanted to create both a safe space for everyone to kind of work through any of those challenges.
Right.
Make sure that the folks that were coming into Automatic felt really supported and felt like we were really investing in their success in the long run. And also bring a little bit of Automatic culture into the acquisition process, because coaching is such a big part of what we do. So I worked with our chief of staff to put the program together, and I feel like it was really successful. I think every acquisition is really challenging, but I heard like really good feedback about how the coaching program was beneficial.
It's so amazing. It's also striking me how much of the work that you've done implementing these coaching insights has been related to kind of not just one-on-one, like we say coaching, and I think a lot of times people think, oh, that's one-on-one. It's, you know, one person sitting down with one practitioner. But a lot of this has been group, facilitated group work. And there's been some power and efficacy in that, and how you've utilized those sorts of approaches.
Yeah. Yeah. I think when I think about impact to the broader organization, I definitely think that like group facilitation can be really powerful. I would say for me personally, one-on-one coaching has been like absolutely transformative. Like do not think I would be at Automatic today if I did not have coaching, truly. And B, I do not think that I would have been able to grow my career without one-on-one coaching. Because like for the first one, I think the early days at Automatic were so challenging, especially going through the transition from IC to lead was so hard for me that there were many times where I was like, I'm out. Like, I can't do this. Like, leading is too hard. Mm-hmm. You know, it's imposter syndrome. It's too challenging. I can't do this. And like having someone in my court who was like, why can't you do this? What, you know, asking really tough questions and challenging me got me over that initial hump. I always tell people that, like, I find the transition from like IC to team lead is like one of the biggest jumps that you have to make.
For sure.
I think even more than like from team lead into like, you know, leading like a lead of leads or any of that. Cause like that first jump from IC to team lead, it's like, you're basically, it's a whole new job. And, yep. I just felt so lost in the early days without having like somebody who was like coaching me through the toolkits and all that. And then the other piece is like, for me to like grow my career at Automatic, I think that having somebody who, so I've worked with the same coach for almost, I don't know. Yeah. A long time, 7 years, 6 years. It has been a long time. And just having somebody who like can consistently help me see where I need to grow and the paths that I need to, you know, the skills that I need to form has really helped me accelerate my career development, because otherwise I would have been sort of like feeling in the dark.
Yeah.
And so that's been incredibly helpful.
Yeah. What a gift to have that kind of continuity in your life, that kind of support along your leadership path. Speaking of leadership path, as we kind of bring this to a close, I'm curious if you were to think back to the Steph that showed up in Atlanta with the rest of the automaticians to be a part of that pilot, and think about that stage, where you were at that stage in your career, and if you had some pieces of advice for others who might be in similar stages, just kind of maybe getting started, or maybe they've been doing this for a while but haven't quite figured out how to make these kinds of coaching engagements really work for them. Any words of sage wisdom?
So I always tell my team leads that coaching is available to them, but I'm never going to force anybody to coach, because coaching, you get out of it as much as you put into it.
Right.
So I would say like, you need to be prepared to invest in coaching. It's not just a take. You don't just like show up and the coach just like gives you a bunch of stuff and you exit and suddenly you're a better leader. It's really that true investment in that conversation, being open and vulnerable and willing to explore like what's working, what's not, challenging your own assumptions. Like those types of conversations is how you get a ton out of the like leadership benefit and the acceleration and growth and all of that. Mm-hmm. The other thing I would say is like, you really have to make sure you find the right coach for you, because there are many different coaches with many different coaching styles, and you should not be afraid to talk to different coaches to get a sense of like different coaching styles. And then also, it's okay to take a break from your current coach to like go work with a different coach for a different style and come back. So like, I was a dancer growing up. I have danced from like middle school all the way through college. And like, you want to work with different dance instructors and different dance and different choreographers, because it rounds out your skill set and your approach and you learn different things. And so I kind of think of it as that, like, I do have my home base coach. I call my coach like my home base coach. I go back to him regularly. Some years I meet with him more than other years, depending on what's going on. But I've also been able to meet with different coaches that have different skill sets or different approaches that have helped me round out my skill set. So I would say that would be my advice, is you only get out of it what you invest. You really have to be comfortable with being really vulnerable and asking tough questions. Mm-hmm. And then the other is like, don't be afraid to try different coaches to find the coach that fits for you, because it will help you like accelerate, and you can, depending on what stage in your career, you might find that different coaches are more helpful.
It's great advice. Steph, thank you so much for hanging out today. This has been a lot of fun to talk and reminisce, and I'm inspired by you and impressed by all the good that you've been able to do, and thanks for taking the time to share it with me.
Thank you for everything you've given all of us at Automatic. It's, you know, we wouldn't be where we are today, I think, without Reboot. So thank you.
Well, thank you for that.
If you enjoyed this episode and want to hear more, head to reboot.io/podcast to explore past and present seasons of our podcast conversations. To help more people find and enjoy the Reboot podcast, consider leaving us a review on iTunes. You can find our step-by-step guide for leaving reviews in the show notes of each episode. And don't forget to join our mailing list at reboot.io/signup so you'll never miss an episode. Thank you for listening. How long till my soul gets it right?